You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Why is it that those who advocate for abortion seem adamant that abortion has no negative consequences in the lives of women? Why the denials of abortion's consequences emotionally, psychologically, medically, and physically? It's a good question, especially when so many women suffer after abortion. Joining us to answer some of those questions on this Thursday afternoon, Teresa Bonapartis. She's director of a post-abortion organization called Lumina and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "Many Women Are Already Serving Time Because of Abortion and Overturning Roe Won't Change That." Teresa, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
How do you respond to a woman who says, and we will find them all the time in social media, kind of boasting about their abortion? They say, I've had one, I've had two, and I've never regretted it for a second.
Well, I think there's a couple of responses to that. Many times the reaction is delayed. You kind of go into denial or you immediately feel relief, but then after a while, it comes up for you. Maybe it won't come up for you until you have other children. Some people stay in denial, but that doesn't change the fact that even the Guttmacher Institute, which used to be an arm of Planned Parenthood, they even say that 10% of women who have abortions, there's damage from it. So we're still talking about, with 60 million abortions in our country since Roe versus Wade, we're still talking about millions of women that are suffering. And that's not even, it's much more than that, because you know, there's a stigma with abortion. People don't tell anyone. Some women suffer and their spouses don't even know they ever had an abortion. So that's a very low number from the reality of the number of women who suffer because of a past abortion.
Teresa, tell us your story regarding abortion.
Well, I was a teenager. I was 17 years old and I became pregnant, and you know, just like any other teenager who becomes pregnant, I was terrified to tell my parents, and I waited and waited and waited because you could hide it, you know, with peasant shirts and everything in the time that I grew up, because I grew up in the 60s. When I finally told them, I had played all these scenarios in my head. The only thing that I didn't think was that my parents would ask me to get an abortion, just because we were a Catholic family and it was against the church. So I just never even considered that as an option. But the reality of what happened and what I was playing in my head were two different things. My father actually got up out of his chair, told me to get out of his house and to forget that I was his daughter, and he was going to forget that I was his daughter. And so I found myself 17 years old, no money, no job, no place to go. And I ended up staying at a friend's house, just feeling so totally cut off from everybody and everything. And Dave Reardon, who does post-abortion research, he has a great line in one of his books about how women are socially aborted many times before they ever set foot into a clinic. And that's truly the way that I felt. Everything I knew, everything I was familiar with, everybody that supposedly loved me, I was like separated from that. And then my father started having a sister of mine call me to tell me that he wanted me to get an abortion and he would pay for it. And at first I said, no, no, no. And then finally I gave in, not because I had a free choice, but because I thought I had no choice. And I think that's so crucial because they make it sound like every woman who walks into an abortion clinic wants to have an abortion. And I've been doing post-abortion counseling for over 20 years now, and I can tell you I've met thousands of women, and very few of them really wanted to have an abortion. There's some kind of pressure, and that doesn't mean that it's okay to have it. It's just that, you know, like this dream out there that women are dying to have abortions, and the way that they make it sound, and that it's the thing for women's health, and it's such a lie, just like Roe versus Wade was a lie. I mean, the lies just keep on coming and coming. And I just think it's a great injustice to women. They deny the pain that women go through because of abortion. I mean, I've had women that are suicidal, that have been in psychiatric institutions, that have eating disorders, that have addiction problems. And the pro-aborts, the extreme pro-aborts, won't even acknowledge their pain. They make it sound all the time, you know, like it's something that you want to do. Like it's every woman wants to have an abortion, as if that defines us. And in my case, I finally gave in, and I had the abortion, and I was in my fourth month of pregnancy, so I had a saline abortion and actually went into labor and saw my son after. And, you know, I always say, people will say, you know, oh, that's so terrible, that's so terrible. But for me, I actually think it was a blessing because I saw him and I knew there was no denying what had happened or that he was a baby. It took me a really long time to find any kind of healing, and when I finally found it, I just came on this quest to really try to help other people that I knew were probably out there suffering too, and to try to break through the denial and the lies that we hear all the time. You know, like with this thing, with this article that you mentioned that I wrote, I mean, they're out there telling us we're going to go to jail. Women are going to go to jail. Women aren't going to go to jail. We don't even know if Roe versus Wade is going to get overturned. And even if it does get overturned, there's multiple states that have protections there where abortion will still be available. So it's just like this big fear thing that they're putting out there, just like, you know, women are going to die without Roe versus Wade. No, they're not, you know. And first of all, it's very different now. We have antibiotics. It's not back alleys, and it wouldn't be back alleys. You know what I'm saying. It's just like everything is perpetuated on this lie, this lie, this lie, this lie, this lie. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to instill fear in people so that, well, obviously, so that they'll get political votes. You know, that's really what it boils down to. You know, if you look at some of these politicians, you know, they have Planned Parenthood backing them up, and they're looking for votes for the elections. And so they're instilling fear, because the other aspect is, you know, like family and friends. And family and friends know maybe somebody in their family that had an abortion. So here they are telling people, well, your loved one's going to go to jail. Well, you know, nobody wants their loved one to go to jail. So they might vote for a Democrat who supports abortion, because if they vote for the Republican, they're going to be afraid that their loved one is going to go to jail. So it's just like, you know, it's just such a deceiving issue. And there's such a block when it comes to really getting the truth there and hearing the voices of women like myself who have been there and will speak to the truth of the experience of abortion.
Do you think also that the guilt can not only manifest itself and the regret manifests itself as all of those things you described before, mental illness and suicidal thoughts and a lifelong regret of this, but also can it manifest itself in kind of an attempt to justify and say, okay, I don't want to admit that what I did was actually take a human life, so I'm going to become all the more a supporter.
Oh, yeah, I think that happens all the time. You know, definitely happens all the time. And the thing is like what you said before, like they have this badge, and they're holding these badges saying that, well, because they can't look. They can't look at what they did, and they're unable to look, because if they look, then they have to look at the truth, so they don't want to. So they act out in certain ways so that they don't have to look. And it's just, yeah, it's crazy. They rationalize, they justify, they do anything. And I always say, you know what? Maybe it doesn't bother you. That's fine if it doesn't bother you. I thank God every day that it bothered me, because I don't want to be able to kill my kids and have it be okay. Like, how is that a good thing? That you could take the life of your own child and not have it bother you? To me, that's not something to be bragging about. That's pretty sad. you know, no matter what the circumstances were. You know, even if you felt like you had to do it, the fact that there's people out there, you know, God bless abortion and the joy of abortion. Like, I read something the other day about abortion is joyous, or, you know, like, really? You know, like, is that really where you're coming from? So, yeah, it's a desperation, I think, not to look. And, you know, obviously, I mean, my faith has a lot to do with it, although that's the other thing. They try to pin it as a religious issue, and it's not a religious issue. It's a human rights issue. I wasn't even in my faith when all of this happened. I was so far away from the faith. Now I'm in the faith, but I'm in the faith after, as I progressed in my healing. But at that point, many people aren't even in their faith, so it's not a religious issue. It's a human rights issue.
What does it say to women? And this, I think, is essentially the bottom line. You're not really worth anything unless you have the right to terminate your pregnancy.
Yeah. Isn't that what they're saying, right? I mean, that's really what they're saying. I mean, even Schumer, like here, I live in New York, so I have Schumer and Governor Cuomo, and some of the things that they're saying, like, yeah, exactly. It's like as if we have no value if we can't have abortion, as if that defines us. And that doesn't define us, and it will never define us. Women are much more than abortion, but yet they categorize us in those ways. Like, women will be devastated. In one mouth, they're saying, trust women, trust women. But they obviously don't trust women at all, because if they really trusted women, then they would know that women will be able to adjust to a situation to take care of things in their lives. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're strong, will rise to the occasion, and things will work out. You don't have to kill your kids to survive. And yet that's what they're pretty much saying. They're defining us by abortion, and we need to trust women. But the other half of that, too, is how many women are coerced, like I was, by my parents. Some people are coerced. I had a woman I worked with whose husband, she had had a child, suffered from postpartum depression, was hospitalized, got pregnant again, and he told her she didn't have an abortion, he was going to divorce her. She ended up caving in, having the abortion, and 2 weeks later, her husband died of a heart attack. So then she was dealing with his death and the fact that she had had the abortion. What about these people that are coerced by husbands, that are coerced by boyfriends? The violence, you never hear them talking about pregnant women who are addressing violence with their boyfriends because they don't want to abort. You never hear those things. Those women are not protected. You don't see legislation to tell women about the dangers of abortion or to protect them from these people that could coerce them, or even sexual abusers, right? How many kids get brought to Planned Parenthood or different places to have an abortion without anybody knowing and go home to somebody that's sexually abusing them? So they're not really for women. They're for abortion. And I think that that's the message we really need to get out there. You know, it's wonderful in the pro-life movement we say save the babies, and of course we have to do that, and it's a wonderful thing. But it doesn't end there. I mean, I just don't think it should end there. We have to save the women and the men and everybody else that's touched by this as well. It's just important because they're important. Their dignity and respect for life is important too. And I just think that this message just really, really needs to get out there, because they don't have any respect for women. They are, it's the god of abortion that they're protecting.
Teresa Bonapartis is our guest. We're talking about pro-choice denials of abortions, consequences. Our conversation continues right after this.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
an umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, we're talking about pro-choice denials of abortion's consequences. Teresa Bonapartis is our guest, director of a post-abortion organization called Lumina and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Many Women Are Already Serving Life Because of Abortion, and Overturning Roe Won't Change That. Teresa, we've talked about the emotional and psychological consequences and the after effects. Let's talk a little bit about the physical and medical consequences.
Well, I know people who have had perforated uteruses. I know women that can never have any other children, that child was the only one that they could have. Look at the different people that have died because of abortion. I mean, we've had a lot of cases in the past few years of women who have gone in to have an abortion in a supposed safe legal clinic and ended up dying there because it's not safe. It kills babies, and sometimes it kills the mothers, too. And going to that, you don't hear the outrage from the pro-abortion side about these women who are dying in the clinics, right? We never hear that. They're never on the radio saying, oh, we have to stop this and protect women. They don't want regulations at the clinics, and there's very real physical things that happen. I know someone whose bowels were pulled out when she had her abortion, and she had to have multiple surgeries. She was a mess. Look at these crazy abortionists, some of them that, you know, like Gosnell, look at who's serving, what is he serving? I think he's serving a life sentence. Look at the things that he did. You know, like there's some abortionists that injure women and just move from state to state. That's Stephen Brigham. And, you know, so it's just like you can't say that you care about women and yet do nothing to safeguard them, and they do nothing to safeguard them. One of the women that just died recently, Jennifer Morbello, was a teacher right in the town next to me and had gotten an adverse diagnosis. She was planning on having her child, and then she got an adverse diagnosis, and with adverse diagnosis, a lot of times there's a lot of pressure to abort the baby. She went to go have an abortion, and then she bled to death. She had abortion complications, and she bled to death. So they could talk about safe and legal all they want, but there's definitely many women who, you know, with hemorrhaging and just all kinds of different things that can happen. And then psychologically, like I said before, addictions, anxiety, depression, all kinds of different things that women experience as a result of abortion. I hear it every day. I get calls every single day from people all over the country.
What would you say to a woman who is contemplating having an abortion? Maybe she is in one of those situations where the pressure is on. It's not necessarily someone threatening her, but they're saying, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the subtle pressure of we can't do this right now, or you're going to ruin your whole life, or how are you going to get through college? All those kinds of things that are the more subtle kinds
of
pressure.
I think one of the major lies that we hear all the time is that, or what's implied, right, is that if you get pregnant and you don't want to be pregnant, go and have an abortion and your life is going to go back to the way it was before you had the abortion. And that's just not true. Your life is not going to go back to the way it is before you have an abortion. I mean, there's so many young girls that do that. They might get pregnant in college, they go have an abortion, and then they don't know what to do with their feelings. And the other thing with abortion is, like, some friends might know before you go and have it, but then after, if you're suffering, I hate to say it, but people don't know what to do. They don't want to hear it. And they don't want to hear it, I think, because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to help. They want people to just forget about it and to move on with their lives. But it's very difficult to do that, and it can impact people. That's actually what happened to me. I mean, I ended up going back to school and getting, I did drug and alcohol abuse counseling. And what ended up happening to me is that I started having a lot of clients that had abortions in their past, and I really couldn't help them because I hadn't even dealt with my own abortion. And I ended up burning out and actually having to leave a job and you know, get my own healing before I was able to go back and do that work. And I think that happens, like I said, it doesn't necessarily, you might not know that that's what's impacting you. It might take years before you recognize that that's what it is. I mean, I've had women as old as 86 and 90 looking for help and calling because they knew they were going near death and they've been carrying this around for 60 years. You know, that's how crazy it is. So I think that it's very common for many people, for them to be in this denial and not think about it and to move on with their life. Another thing that happens a lot of times is that, you know, somebody might have had an abortion and then they meet somebody and they got married and they never tell their husband that they had this abortion, and yet it's impacting their intimacy because she has issues and she lives in the fear of being found out that he'll find out about the abortion, and she has intimacy issues because of her experience. And it leaves the husband not knowing why this is going on, right? And so it impacts relationships and marriages, too. And to think that it doesn't, you know, it impacts siblings that are living. Why am I alive and my sibling isn't alive? Did they want me? Would my name be the same? I mean, the repercussions of abortion are, it's unbelievable, you know? So I don't know. You know, I think one of these days we're going to have to face it. It's just so crazy now with this Supreme Court stuff and the way that, you know, they're just playing people to try to get personally, you know, like Planned Parenthood and NARAL, you know, they make a lot of money. And the politicians, you know, they're looking for votes. So let's instill fear so people will vote for us. That's pretty much last night here. They had somebody on TV who was, it was just so ironic to me. She was talking about how Kavanaugh voted a certain way with health care, and she had a baby that was born with health issues, and if it was up to him, her baby wouldn't get health care. And I just wanted to say, yeah, and if it was up to Schumer and Cuomo, your baby wouldn't even be here because they do search and destroy, and you would have been told to abort it. Do you know what I mean? So it's just such a hypocrisy. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Finally, then, and we're going to continue to hear it, but what would you say to a woman who says, look, I don't think abortion is a great thing, but I think women ought to be able to go and do it. It ought to be legal. And I'm afraid that there will be women charged with crimes and sent to jail or fined or something like that if Roe v. Wade is overturned. What would you say to them?
I would say that I would bet my life that that's not going to happen. Women are not going to go to jail because of Roe versus Wade. It's not going to happen. If it became illegal, that's a big if. Like I said, if it even gets overturned, it's going to go back to the states. I mean, everybody thinks if it gets overturned, abortion is going to be, you know, illegal everywhere. Well, that's not even true, you know? Like I said before, there's certain states where there's protections that it's going to continue to be legal, you know, like New York, Connecticut, Maine, California. Like, there's a bunch of states where it's going to continue to be legal. So that, number one, you know, that it would still be available, not that I think it's a good thing. And I'm sorry, what was the other part of the question? I lost it.
They're just fearful that, you know, it'll be a step back for women and women will be charged and become criminals.
Instead of putting so much energy and money into killing our kids, maybe we need to look at what we can do to truly help women so that they don't feel like they're in a position to take the lives of their children. Maybe we need to teach more about different things that would be positive instead of abortion, because, you know, abortion isn't good. It kills babies and it hurts people, and they could deny it all they want, but it's out there. And, you know, sometimes I'll get somebody that's contemplating abortion and they will still go ahead with it. And then they'll call me after. And unfortunately after, I mean, I could help them as much as I can, but then you have to walk through the pain. You know, you could sit there and you could think that you're going to get away with it, but I don't think very many people get away with it. It might be the day that they die, but sooner or later, I think they have to face what they did, especially now that we know scientifically that it's truly a baby in the womb and what we could see. Look at now, they're doing the 3D things of the baby in the womb that they could give to the mother now. So, I mean, do we really want to be a country that says it's just okay to keep killing your kids? I mean, God forbid, I hope not. I really hope that things start turning around, because I really feel like we're at a crossroads now, and we're either going to go one way or another. And if we go the way that just makes it untouchable everywhere, I think we're going to be very sorry as a nation.
Teresa Bonapartis is director of a post-abortion organization called Lumina, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "Many Women Are Already Serving Life Because of Abortion, and Overturning Roe Won't Change That." You can read it, and you can learn more about Lumina under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Teresa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, is going to join us. We'll talk about the post-Roe political battleground. Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.